Altitude is a monthly live stream brought to you by NATS, the UK's leading air traffic control company. In the show, we talk with industry experts about current and prominent aviation topics. In this month's show, we're lifting the curtain on the unseen world of international air cargo operations and the incredible journey that starts when you click buy now. Enjoy the show and find out more at nats.aero/altitude.
Hello and welcome to this seventh episode of Altitude, the place for us to discuss interesting industry topics, innovations, challenges, and also a general gossip on aviation. My name is Andrew Burke, and I'm really pleased to be sat in the host seat, and also the hot seat for this month, for what should be a fascinating topic. From delivering fresh Norwegian crab to South Korea, through to supporting the worldwide vaccine rollout, every year millions of tons of freight are flowing through our skies and passing through our airport in what is a 24-hour-a-day choreography of logistics, just-in-time planning, and also human ingenuity. And with much of the world living with lockdowns over the past year, the role of air cargo has never been more important. With me to discuss that, as well as the industry's role in the worldwide COVID vaccine rollout, are two very special guests. Please welcome to Altitude DHL Chief Pilot Richard Brew and Head of Cargo for the Manchester Airport Group, Stephen Harvey. Thank you for joining us, Richard and Stephen. As ever with Altitude, you can put your questions to our experts throughout the show, and we'll try to get to many of you as we can later on. So first of all, Richard, let me start with you. Give me a sense of what your job entails on a day-to-day basis and the scope of DHL's operation.
Well, I suppose, put in the most simplistic form, my job entails two main facets, airline management and people management. So with the airline, I am responsible for the day-to-day management and operation of the flight operations side of things. That obviously encompasses a lot of liaison with the regulator, checking current regulations, updating our manuals, et cetera. Also, when we look at new routes, I'll be writing the briefing material for new routes. And equally, when we introduce new aircraft, an awful lot of background work has to go into that side of things. And then the other side of the coin, people management. Our team is about 320 strong of pilots made up from about 25 different nations. They are today currently spread over five continents of the globe, and you've got the normal welfare issues of those individuals in those locations on a day-to-day basis. And obviously there's other things that encompass that people management, management of expectation of career, aspirations, etc. That's me in a nutshell.
Excellent. Sounds busy there. So on to you, Stephen. Manchester Airport Group owns some of the UK's busiest airports, including the major cargo hubs at East Midlands and Stansted. I guess you're a busy man.
Yes, I certainly am. And for us, for the group, it's challenging times. And we're only here to talk about cargo, but for the airport group, it's challenging times. But particularly on our side, the growth most recently over the last 12 to 14 months has been significant. Great business to have, but as an airport, we have to manage it. And doing that, it incorporates stand planning, additional logistical services, trucking, et cetera, that goes with it. But the picture for the group, for the cargo department, is very promising. And the growth seen is amazing, really, in considering the actual overview of where the aviation industry is currently. So very busy, but very enjoyable and very productive.
Excellent. You mentioned the word significant there. How significant is air freight to the world economy from the mag side?
Very significant. I mean, let's look at the logistics of you mentioned East Midlands and Stansted. So East Midlands, where it's located in the Midlands, within 4 hours of trucking, we have 87% of the UK population, over 85% of the business population. And within 1.5 hours of trucking, we have over a third of the UK distribution and warehouse centre. So cargo is extremely vital. Similarly, here at Stansted, we have the London Gateway, which have the again, which are working with some of our customers, Stansted, to distribute their products. And with World Cargo, it's, as we will discuss later on, it's all about being time sensitive, meeting, you know, key performance indicators. So for the airports and the logistics providers that work with them, you know, we are playing a major role currently, and that I can see in the near future with, if we'll call it health products, vaccines, and again, day to day living and how we've changed in that role.
Yeah, that's interesting. So we've heard from the ground perspective. Now, Richard, from your perspective, how significant is air freight to the world economy, particularly from the cargo carrier's perspective?
I'm not even sure whether significant is the right word. Perhaps essential is a better word to use. We've had a bit of a dichotomy in the last 12, 15 months with us all working out of our upstairs bedrooms, etc. And there has been, to a certain extent, a localization that we're using the corner shop. We're using the farm shop a little bit more. But with that has also got to come an appreciation that, you know, the UK and Western economies are no longer manufacturing bases. And the vast majority of consumer goods have to be imported. And, you know, I think that's been emphasized over the last 12, 15 months. And it, to sort of bring the discussion towards East Midlands, what we've found in DHL is that we've lost massive capacity at Heathrow because we've lost the belly space on passenger aircraft. So what is provided at East Midlands is now truly essential to the UK economy.
Yeah, and I would like to back that up, that, you know, as the airport for the customers and the global reduction. So at certain stages, 80% off certain routes has certainly led to an increase in the usage of the airports through our freighter based customers, and particularly for the express and integrated products. We've seen a huge growth in that area.
That's interesting. So when we start talking, Stephen, about, you know, major cargo hubs such as East Midlands or Stansted, what are the challenges associated with, I'm guessing, an arrival stream of traffic, and there's going to be a departure stream of traffic, but also the transference of packages between one and the other with dispatching aircraft. So what do you see the issues are on the ground for the major cargo hub?
Well, I think there's two parts of that. Is because we have customers that have global networks, and if you want to call it the actual nature of our air cargo works, you will see that most of our rivals are nighttime, particularly at East Midlands. We have a nighttime-based cargo business. And the reality is that there's going to be peaks during the night where the vast majority of aircraft want to arrive and the vast majority of aircraft want to depart. And that's to make sure that globally they meet their network connections, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the challenges now, and it's a very good challenge and one that we're looking at, not just about today, but for the future, is stand allocation, you know, ensuring that not only do we have the stands available for the aircraft, but also to try and ensure that those aircraft are parked in an area that can, if you want to call it, can easily be serviced quickly and efficiently. Because the second part of the point to raise is that it's not just about us servicing the airlines. It's about the cargo then being offloaded or loaded through the transit shed and then distributed to the UK via the trucking services that we talk about. So there's two parts. There's ensuring that the aircraft can be managed and serviced correctly and efficiently. But then there's ensuring that, you know, time-wise, the cargo can be handled and processed in the same manner, you know, efficiently, safely, and then distributed and dispatched in a time-efficient manner.
Thanks. So, Richard, you've heard Stephen's perspective of handling, you know, major cargo hubs. How do you, as a DHL, as an operator, view the role of the major cargo hub, particularly East Midlands, Stansted, you know, Leipzig in northern Germany, for example?
Yeah, the choreography that has to go on at these locations is absolutely essential to the business model. DHL Express, which is what the airline side of the business is involved in, is a time-definite international product. And it's essential that product gets to the end user on the time that's been promised. Otherwise, the customer will be looking for compensation. So the analysis and the work that goes into ensuring on-time performance inside DHL is colossal. And obviously, we look to partner with people who can provide that level of assurity within the airport environment.
Excellent. So the last 15 months has been unprecedented with the change in global aviation. So from your perspective, Richard, what's the impact of COVID been on the industry?
Well, obviously, in the wider sense, it's been very humbling for us in the freight side of things, because obviously we've all got colleagues and friends operating in the passenger world, and they're furloughed or they, you know, actually lost their jobs. Whilst it's actually been the busiest 15 months in our history, and continues to be so, and we continue to break records month after month. So in that respect, it's very humbling. It's also been exceptionally challenging. The complexity of a day-to-day operation working under COVID has intensified. And there are lots of things now that we're having to check on a daily basis. COVID regulations, which unfortunately have been very nationalistic. So if we go to 30 countries, we're looking at 30 different COVID sets of regulations for our people. And, you know, there have been very, what now we might describe as funny anecdotes. They probably weren't funny on the day. You know, we have people imprisoned on aircraft, on flight decks, being told that if they go down the steps of the aircraft, they will be incarcerated for 2 weeks. You know, it did get to that level last spring, early summer. So obviously we've had to manage all that, but also deliver the product and also ensure our on-time performance hasn't been compromised.
So you say you've never been so busy. What are the challenges of being so busy?
We literally don't have enough aircraft to supply the world with what it wants right now. So we are having to come up with innovative solutions to plug the gap.
Okay.
What probably has to be appreciated is that DHL utilises, or was pre-pandemic, was utilising about 2,000 passenger flights every day. And that source of capacity dried up overnight. And we've been trying to plug the gap ever since, really.
Wow. So for you, Stephen, what have you seen from the MAG group or the ground infrastructure side has been the impact of COVID from your perspective?
I suppose I could put it in simple terms, and it's a really relevant thing, as someone said to me today, a friend of mine said, I drove past the airport the other day, and I see basically a cargo aircraft parked where I normally see passenger aircrafts. And I said, well, that actually really is the reality of what we're seeing currently, that as our business and our customers' business, the cargo carriers, have expanded, we've actually had to accommodate them, you know, on what would previously have been seen as a, if you want to call it, a passenger type stand. So that gives you an indication on in the growth. That gives you an understanding that how we have to, if you want to call it, understand our, you know, Richard and the other customers' businesses are growing. And to do that, it's kind of getting the market data as well. So, you know, we're fully aware that virtually every freighter that could be flying at the moment is flying, without getting in too deep. We're fully aware that even in UK local business, so if you would like to call national business, and I will use their name, Royal Mail, I mean, they've had extraordinary expansion as well. So we have to understand that air freight in itself has changed, you know, not just, if you want to call it, the volumes, but the type of cargo, you know, and we go into detail about consumer shopping, et cetera, et cetera. But a wide range that now that travels on our aircraft and the facilities that are required to ensure that they're handled correctly, you know, cooling facilities, time sensitive security, all of this has to be incorporated. And from the airport side, they have to work with the customers to ensure that those facilities are, even if they're not available today, they have to be there for the future to make sure that the airport's growth is in line with our customers' growth.
So, Stephen, you mentioned there about, you know, the global shopping pandemic. So are you seeing an increase of freight of you click on a button one day and the package arrives from Dusseldorf the next?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what has increased. So, you know, this, I suppose you call it a change in where it was kind of business to business. And now you see a lot more business to customer, and our customers will vouch for that. So you do have the, you know, the one click type business. And I think one of the other things which has really changed in general air cargo, and let's there are differences between various parts of air cargo, but certainly in general air cargo, which has moved into express product, is that people now expect to click, and the next thing they expect is the package delivered to their front door. And with that click, they expect to know, if we look at it, the time that it's going to take. And then there's various other services, level of services that our customers provide, to the extent that they even know when they're loaded on the aircraft, even what position they're loaded on the aircraft, what temperature it's loaded on there. All of these now are part of the services that our customers provide. So air cargo has transformed greatly, not just the last 14, 15 months, but, you know, it's been progressive, and it's been progressive in the services and, if you want to call it, the types of products that the customers provide now.
So, Richard, it sounds like Big Brother's watching you at every stage of your job at the moment.
Absolutely. So just to give the viewers a measure of the detail with which we are looking at delay and delay management, obviously the business doesn't just stop with moving an aircraft. You've obviously got the courier to pick up the parcel, and then the road transport network at both ends of the delivery program. So the amount that we can be delayed is tiny in the whole body of the delay of the product. So our current, or my current target for flight crew delay is 0.14% of flights. So we have just over 20,000 flights a year from the UK for DHL, and I'm allowed 25, 26 delays down to flight crew. And the entire airline is, we've been trying this year to get to 99% on-time performance. We're a bit shy of it. We're at 98.53 of this morning. That's a figure that is ingrained in everybody's mind every day. So if there's controllers on the viewing at home, if you hear it's frustration in our pilots' voices when they call up for clearance, etc., that is the background that we're under constant analysis. The flight management computer in the cockpit comes to us after 5 minutes of being of our delay. So if we're still on stand 5 minutes after the scheduled time of departure, computer wants to know, why are we there? And we have to validate that before the flight management computer will let us proceed. So that's the sort of, as you say, Big Brother world that we live in terms of on-time performance.
Wow, that's really quite impressive, or scary. So we've got to this phase at the moment for the last 15 months. So what does the future hold for DHL? You know, what's the future of air freight going forwards? Now we've got to this position at the moment where you've never been so busy, Richard.
Yeah, I think there's probably got to be a period of consolidation where we can bring forwards the conversion of passenger aircraft into freighters. We've got a big program on at the moment converting Boeing 767 to freighters. Those aircraft were naturally coming towards the end of their lives with the given airline. So the investment probably hadn't been there over the last couple of years. So not only are we in a freighter conversion program with those aircraft, we're also in a future-proofing the avionics of those aircraft for the next 15, 20 years. So that's a big program itself. And equally, we've got ambitious orders in with Boeing Direct. So we've got our Boeing 777 freighter program that we've been rolling out for the last few years. And it's nice to have been told recently that East Midlands and the DHL Air UK side of things will take delivery of its first 777 freighter in January 2022.
Wow. So DHL, Stephen, are getting all of these new aircraft. So how do you, as MAG, see the future for air transport? Because as aviation starts to come back with commercial traffic, it's the integration piece, I guess, of, you know, freight traffic with passenger flights going forwards. So what do you see the future for MAG Group and air freight?
Well, I think I second what Richard was saying regarding capacity. And I think areas of air freight will continue to grow at different rates. I think that it looks as if the how the vaccinations are going, it looks as if transatlantic services passenger wise will probably, you know, crystal ball here, probably start before, if you want to call it, the Asia Pacific UK flights. So I think that the cargo capacity will come back quicker, not fully, but it will return to the general market in a sooner way, you know, in an earlier fashion. So I think that it'll be interesting to understand how our customers, how that business continues. Does it stay the same? Because that type of business physically is wide body aircraft. Physically, the wide body aircraft take up greater space at East Midlands, so go back into stand capacity. We have to understand that, because we have to ensure that when our customers, Richard and our other customers, want to have these aircraft land, dispatch, go, turn around, we have to be in a position to ensure that they can do that quickly and efficiently. We have to ensure that we invest accordingly, and to do that, we have to understand the market and understand our customers. So it's ongoing. It's not about today. It's about tomorrow. Currently, there are discussions, particularly at East Midlands, regarding expansion, and I mean physical expansion, and that has to continue at pace, and that has to continue with the understanding of how we see our customers' business going. I mean, we've, in addition to the DHL product, we have other transatlantic services where we've been advised by the other customers that they have the same planned growth. They've invested similarly in if you want to call it new wide body aircraft. So it's a very promising picture, and we're very pleased that we can talk about growth, but we have to be mindful that we have to grow. That's the airport's job, is to grow with our customers. And a 777 aircraft, Cody, whatever the correct terminology is on this format, is they take an awful lot of concrete to park them on, and that takes a great deal of investment. And those two have to work in line with what our customers telling us to how they're going to grow. So communication here and understanding that the air cargo market is key to ensuring the airport and MAG through the airports grow in the same manner. And, you know, that's the key here. The key is understanding. And I suppose really the question that many people have is this growth all organic? Is the growth caused by capacity restraints? Is it caused by different products? Is it caused by shopping consumer habits? And I'm sure there's a bit of yes and no in all of that. But understanding what the mix is and then understanding what that actually means in freighter operations, that will be the key to ensuring we make sure that we are ready for these additional aircraft when they want to arrive and when they want to depart.
So that's really interesting. It then kind of segues quite nicely onto my next sort of thought and topic. It's very much the sustainability issue. Obviously, sustainability is a huge issue for the whole industry. So from a Manchester Airport Group, Stephen, how are you addressing it?
So we have a flight evaluation unit who work closely with the government. And as many people know, there's a discussion taking place regarding night flying, noise, et cetera, et cetera. And we're working closely with them. And we would like to think that we're actually proactive in that, in some suggestions. There's a designated airport and there's the non-designated airport, so there's that part to that. And there's some discussions going on regarding 2022, 2020 to 2024 and then post-2024. So from the airport side of view, we want to be proactive. We have discussions with our customers and they evolve around aircraft type, fuel burn, aircraft departure routes, etc., which Richard will give you a lot more information detail on than myself. But at the same time, we're also working with our customers on ground handling. So there's additional where people, it's not just about the environmental issues or challenges for sustainability in the air. It's, you know, the airport has has environmental challenges on the ground as well. And we are actively looking at, electric ground handling vehicles rather than the previous diesel, etc. And there's also discussions going on regarding types of fuel, hydrogen, et cetera, which, again, we are currently looking into. So proactive, again, you know, we have to understand. We talked on this discussion about how growth is coming. We all have to be mindful that we live in an environment now where we have to be mindful of what we're doing, what time we're doing, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think clear communication again, but understanding what's available to us, whether it be the different type of fuels now that are being offered, which I know, again, that Richard will give you more depth about discussions going on. But from our side, on the flight routings, noise, we want to be proactive. And then on the ground side, we're working on, you know, if we call it electrolysation, and looking at alternative fuel supplies.
So the same question to you, Richard, really. From a DHL Air perspective, what's your view on sustainability? How can you have a sustainable aviation business?
Yeah, I think, there's probably two main facets to that. It's what can we do in the here and now, and it's what can we do from a research and development perspective. What does the future hold? DHL is actively involved in both. Obviously, I'm more involved in the former. Just to touch on things that the wider DHL are looking at, there's an ambitious biofuels program in place, and that's already to a great extent being rolled out in our ground transportation. Also looking at hydrogen-powered vehicles. In terms of future aircraft, we are actually even though the debate out there is, we're not going to be changing how we propel 200-ton freight aircraft in the next 10 years, but there is a marketplace there regionally for either a hybrid or possibly an electric aircraft that could be used on certain Pacific routes. And I'm not at liberty to divulge, but I can assure you DHL is quite a long way down the road on liaising with one of those options. But then to bring it back to DHL Air here in East Midlands, we've got a lot of targets that we're working to. In my weekly update to the pilots, it is now a regular feature as to how we've done with regard to our CDA compliance or our reduced flap usage. And we rolled out a program last year where the target given to us by Deutsche Post DPDHL was 2.5% fuel saving. Everybody has really engaged with the program, and I honestly didn't think the numbers were there to get the savings that we've got. As of today, and I checked the figures before we came on air, we have saved this year in terms of fuel flow per hour 9%. So now I don't think there's a lot more we can do with the current technology, but we'll keep trying and we'll keep pushing. We'll try and see whether we can get to double figures.
So how is DHL addressing the noise versus emissions side of aviation?
That's a very interesting question, Andrew, and it's one that probably maybe the UK is ready for that mature debate. Obviously, because we're a nighttime operator, principally, we've always been very conscious about noise pollution. And in the 18 years I've been here, and it predates my tenure at DHL, in order to mitigate the noise impact at night. That does have an environmental impact, depending on the type of aircraft. But typically, if we were to accelerate at a lower altitude, we could probably save 50 kilos per departure. And then when you multiply that by 20,000 flights, suddenly you're into a million tons of fuel and, an awful lot more of CO2 savings. And maybe the UK is ready for that debate. You know, is the general public ready to accept that lower acceleration altitude and the slight increase in noise for the benefit of the environment?
I think that's a debate we could have for quite a long time. And I'm sure that on one side, you've got the MAG group wanting as little noise as possible. On the other side is fuel saving and reduction in emissions. And I think it's that balance between the two, really, isn't it? Of trying to find the sweet spot.
Yeah. I think the other thing that we shouldn't overlook also is moving forward is that, talking about new technology, there's a continuous discussion which will come forward where some of our customers are looking at different forms of what they call last mile delivery, and that could be in the form of drones, UAVs. And I think that we will definitely see that in the future. And I think that definitely has a place in the future as well, because environmentally, et cetera, et cetera, that provides some certainly positive outlooks on emissions, noise, et cetera, et cetera. And that relates to both in the air and the final mile delivery on the ground.
Yeah, and just to add to that, DHL is investing in drone technology, and we're looking at the viability of that. But equally, that last mile delivery is very important. So, yes, when we arrive in New York every morning, our 767 is greeted by a helicopter with its rotors running, which might not look greatly sustainable. But in actual fact, that one helicopter delivers all the documentation to Manhattan rather than a dozen vans. And then that gets picked up. And that last mile delivery is not a dirty diesel transit van. That last mile in Manhattan is by postman on foot actually delivering it the old-fashioned way.
And this is the great thing about the air cargo industry now. I mean, it's fundamentally changed to how previously it was thought of. You know, it was previously thought of New Year's ago about, excuse the expression, but these old aircraft going up the sky with all these black smoke coming out the back. The air cargo industry has changed absolutely beyond recognition over the last 10, 15 years. And the positives that Richard and myself are talking about are things that have to continue, because, you know, the commercial outlook is that we have to be very competitive. We have to provide services, and the time sensitivity now is really one of the big keys, if not the biggest key to success.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that, because funnily enough, we've just got a question come through to us that actually has relevance to this as well. And we spoke about that COVID has had a lasting impact with such demand and growth for air freight. Do you, and I think this is probably to Richard first of all, do you see a future with more dedicated freighters carrying the freight as opposed to reverting back to making use of passenger flights?
Yeah, undoubtedly. When the outbreak came, when the pandemic started, DHL benefited from having its own fleet of dedicated freight aircraft. To give you an idea of perspective of scale, pre-pandemic, 250 aircraft each day operating for directly controlled by DHL, but 2,000 passenger aircraft operating some sort of service for DHL in the belly freight. That will change going forwards. A lot of those locations on the planet that previously received belly freight from passenger aircraft, now that they're in receipt of a daily dedicated freighter where all that 50 or 100 tons of freight arrives in one go, that obviously adds a huge efficiency to their operation. So a great example would be the Miami. So pre-pandemic, DHL didn't have a dedicated flight transatlantic into Miami. We relied on BA and Virgin, the belly capacities out of Heathrow. We had to set up a dedicated flight to Miami, and we did it in record time here from East Midlands. We're very proud of a 72-hour turnaround to get a flight into Miami. And they haven't looked back. And they don't want to look back. And in actual fact, today, we've actually started the second daily service to Miami with a dedicated DHL freight aircraft. And that's not going to change. You know, there will be a greater demand for freighters going forwards. That's not to say that in all environments that will be the case, because there will be locations where you can't justify from a sustainability perspective a dedicated aircraft when a passenger aircraft can drop off the 1 or 2 tons of cargo that's necessary.
Do you think, therefore, that aviation has fundamentally changed, that we will continue to see these dedicated passenger freight flights on certain routes because the market's there for it?
Are you referring to where certain BAs and Virgins are just using their passenger aircraft with boxes on? Excuse me.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
I think,
right, yes.
The terminology is now called Praetor, I believe. I see it on magazines. So the answer to that is, I would suggest short term yes, long term no. And the reason I say short term yes is because the value that cargo generates, so in other words, the price per kilo, is still high. So yes, in answer to that. Secondly, I would suggest that it's an avenue of revenue at a time where currently revenue for passenger airlines is limited. And thirdly, I would suggest that there's probably some positives in crew training, keeping the aircraft flying, maintenance, et cetera, et cetera. So I think short term, the Praetor operation will continue without doubt. And I think whether it's long term or not really depends on how quickly the passenger type of business on long haul, because this is where we're talking, whether at what rate that comes back. And as I said, that really has a lot to do with vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. But that said, on certain routes, you take the business class kind of revenue that passengers provided to airlines. In this new modern world where we have discussions as we are having today, is that level of business class passenger or first class passenger, et cetera, are they going to be there to generate the revenue that they did before to make that route, that flight financially viable? And if that's a question that I would be not in a, that would be a BA, a Virgin, et cetera, answering that question. But if that isn't the case, and freight values, freight rates are still high, then I can see the Prater type business continuing to operate certainly for the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay. So stick with you then, Stephen. What's the strangest item that you've seen being air freighted in the last year?
Well, I mean, we've all seen and heard stories about PPE. We've all seen, and now currently there's vaccines. For me, whether it be strange or not, is really the... It was quite an interesting thing because really we've seen many aircraft grounded. And yet at the same time out of East Midlands, we see Rolls-Royce aero engines being exported to, if you want to call it, a type of engine that's been exported into Doha, thinking that that type of aircraft was actually grounded, wasn't being flown anymore due to various reasons. So I think for me, I think the variations, so aero engines in particular, always amaze me that you can still, you can physically have to load one of these great Trent 1000s, whatever it is, into a huge, rather large cargo aircraft to move it to an area where it's put on an aircraft to then for the aircraft to fly. So I still find those quite a thing. But I think, to be honest with you, I've just been amazed at the capacity changes. At East Midlands, we've gone up, I think I've got the figures here. At East Midlands in particular, our tonnage has gone up. At East Midlands, our tonnage has gone up 18.7%. Wow. We're over 40,000 tonnes now. And even at Stansted, we went up 31%. So it's, to me, big story is just, and bear, the tonnages that are being carried now. And what that doesn't tell you is that, tonnages are tonnages, but the volumes are even more impressive because, tonnes per kilo against volume isn't a true comparison. But, the most amazing thing is just the volume increases that our customers are now exporting, importing through our airports.
Wow, that's amazing. So I've got another question in, actually, and it's one for you, Richard. And it's, how do nighttime airport flight restrictions affect your timings and your deliverables?
That's a very valid question. So obviously we've got places like East Midlands and Leipzig, which are our hubs in Europe that don't have any nighttime restrictions. Elsewhere in Europe, that's not the case. And we do work to we aim to arrive at some locations. Geneva would be an example. We pride ourselves on arriving 1 minute after the end of the curfew.
Well, well done. So, also carrying with you, Richard, what are the cargo's greatest challenges you see in 2021?
Greatest challenges, consolidating the growth that we've had in the last 12 months and making sure that we can sustain that going forwards. Introducing those new airframes that will help achieve that.
And the same question to you, Richard. Sorry, Stephen, rather. What's your greatest challenge for air cargo in 2021?
We have to ensure that the capacity at our airports meets the demand of our customers. And that is a challenge because Richard has just said, and I reiterate again, the growth it's been amazing. And even if we continue at, Richard talks about consolidation, I have a belief that there will be continued growth in ATMs and aircraft movements. And the challenge is, as mentioned before, nighttime operation. How do we ensure, or how do we make sure that when these aircraft all want to arrive within a 4 or 5 hour window, we have to make sure that there's capacity for them. We have to make sure that, you know, the deliverables are in the fact that they can be loaded, offloaded, they can have their freight to the warehouses and move. And then obviously ensuring that the road network system is capable of ensuring that the distribution goes off efficiently and effectively. So growth for us is understanding what our customers are doing, but primarily ensuring that we can, you know, we can meet their needs, meet their requirements, but also bearing in mind that there are ongoing discussions about sustainability, which again is working with the community. So that's a large challenge. But again, that can only be achieved by, if we're clear, an open, honest and adult discussion.
So do you think that consumer shopping habits have changed in recent years, which is then being reflected through both the airport and the air cargo elements of this, Steve?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, yeah, we've been, all of us have been at home or working from the office or working from home, but all of us have seen that, I wouldn't say the demise of the high street, but let's just say the reduction in use of the high street. And with that, we've bought online, et cetera, et cetera. And with that, we've become accustomed, and that's the word, accustomed to delivery times. We've been accustomed to click and collect. We've been accustomed to this. And I truly believe that that's an area, particularly with, if you want to call it, without being sounding rude here, with the younger generation compared with that, I truly believe that shopping process will continue. And that leads to time sensitivity, and therefore the air cargo part is essential to that time sensitivity. So yes, I absolutely believe shopping habits have changed, and I absolutely believe that air cargo, through its various formats, will be the, if you want to call it, the supplier to meet the demand.
So Richard, have you seen something similar from what you've been carrying? Has there been a shift with, you know, a change in consumer demand?
Absolutely. So, you know, our numbers are stratospheric in terms of what's happened in the last 12 months with the movement of the individual parcel elements, people, business to customer type shopping. And it's difficult to see how that is actually going to be reversed because, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to put it, the high street's no longer there, is it? You know, and people aren't in their office block next to the department store. They're at home and they want the doorbell to ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Unfortunately, it looks like our time is coming to a close. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got at the moment. But personally, I'd like to thank both you, Rich, and also Stephen for what's been a really, really fascinating discussion this afternoon. And all, thank you for watching, and I really hope you've enjoyed it. Altitude will be back in the next few couple of weeks for an episode looking at the role of the RAF, and we have some very special guests for that, so please stay tuned for details. In the meantime, if you have any feedback on today, you can reach us at info@nats.co.uk or via our social media channels. So once again, thank you so much, Richard and Stephen, and thank you very much for watching. Have a great rest of the week, and we hope to see you again soon. Goodbye.
Altitude was brought to you by NATS, the UK's leading air traffic control company. Listen to more shows at nats.aero/altitude.